Thank you for listening to Radio Free Cascadia International. We have on the phone with us right now a resident of Cascadia who is currently in the streets in Cancun and has been there for 2 weeks organizing and participating in the actions that have been happening. So today is September 13th, 2003. Are you there, Cascadia?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What do you have to report to us about the actions that have been taking place down there?
Well, just to kind of do a bit of an overview, I'd like to start with what I feel was the action that set the tenor for the last couple of days of the mobilization here in Cancun, and that was the suicide of Korean farmer Mr. Lee. And that happened on the first big march, which was called for by the campesinos, and a large delegation of Koreans came, most of which came from labor unions, and the largest one was a farmers union, of which Mr. Lee was a big part. And the Koreans came very festive and energized and started the morning out with a really beautiful circle of music and dance with a very large dragon puppet. And we all marched down to kilometer zero, which I'm not sure if the listeners can understand the concept of kilometer zero, but the hotel zone is a very ritzy, fancy, expensive, they call it the Zona Ocaleta. And it is basically a sandbar that parallels the mainland of Cancun. And it is approximately, I think, 24 kilometers in total, but it starts at kilometer zero, and that is where the first fence was erected. And it was about 10 feet tall and heavily reinforced. And if you go beyond that fence, it's another 10 kilometers to get to the convention center. And the police and military had set up several fences between kilometer zero and the convention center. So the march went up to kilometer zero, and the campesinos and the students and the anarchists and the internationals and the Koreans had all made an agreement that we wanted to break the fence down and get through it. And so we got there, and it was a really amazing, amazing march. All the campesinos marched together in the front, and the different campesino groups from throughout Mexico all had certain shirts or bandanas on that kind of distinguished them as a certain campesino group. And it was a very beautiful, beautiful march, and it was followed by the internationals and students. And the Koreans went to the fence first and started banging on it and pulling on it and ripping it and tearing it down. And Mr. Lee jumped to the top and had a big sign that said the WTO kills farmers. He shouted out sayings against the WTO and that its policies were killing farmers. And then he jumped down from the fence and stabbed himself in the heart.
Wow.
And was immediately carried out of the crowd. And there was quite a bit of confusion about what had happened. He didn't learn until a few hours later that he had died from his wounds.
Wow.
And so that obviously was very dramatic and troubling experience for a lot of us. And so they had a press conference down at the hospital, and there was a spontaneous gathering of people. It went from dozens to hundreds of people, and the Koreans sat down in the street in front of the hospital and were surrounded by Zapatistas and campesinos and students and internationals. And as the sun went down, we lit hundreds of candles and set up a memorial in the middle of the street in front of the hospital, and began to share our thoughts and stories about our struggle against this global domination that we're facing. And it was the most amazing act of solidarity I had ever seen.
Wow.
Things were being translated between from Korean to English into Spanish, and the Koreans asked the Mexicans to share songs, and they sang songs from the Zapatistas, their struggle and liberation. And I'm sitting in the street with people from all over the world, and Zapatista songs are ringing throughout the streets around the hospital.
Wow.
And there was an all-night vigil at the encampment. There's a very large encampment in a public space where the Campesino Forum happened on Monday and Tuesday, and all the campesinos and students are camped out there. And so an all-night vigil was moved there. And really beautiful ceremony by some connecting this woman from Chiapas. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, we got word that the Koreans were being threatened with deportation. And they were walking from their hotel, where some of them had been kicked out, to kilometer zero, where Mr. Lee had killed himself earlier in the day. And so it was 1 in the morning, and about 80 of us marched down to kilometer zero to meet them, and were immediately met by the military marching in formation. And we had a standoff all night long, and the Koreans have been camping there ever since.
Wow.
So kilometer zero has since then become this rallying point for everyone. And yesterday, the campesinos moved their camp from La Casa de la Cultura, where the encampment is, to kilometer zero. And they've been holding a vigil all 24 hours a day there ever since. And so since action took place, there's been quite a bit of activity around the idea that the WTO kills, and the WTO kills farmers. And so ever since then, all of the actions taking place have had that message within it, and it's just been this really beautiful common thread going through everyone's thoughts and activities as they protest the WTO. So I guess maybe I should tell you more recently some of the actions that have been happening.
Please.
That seemed like it was a long time ago. Yesterday, there was a really amazing banner hang. We realized that, so we've been trying to get to the convention center, and we realized because we have low numbers, at our height, at the biggest time with the Campesino March, we had about 14,000 people, and since then a lot of the Campesinos have left because it's harvest season, and they had to go home to tend to their fields and milpas, and so now we have a few thousand people. And because of the intense militarization of Cancun, our low numbers, and the intense activity of provocateurs, we realized that our actions kind of had to be decentralized. And we also realized that internationals were able to actually penetrate the hotel zone because internationals could look like tourists.
Right.
And so pretty much since this happened, since there's been presidents at kilometer zero this whole time,
mm-hmm.
They've kept that entrance closed to the hotel zone, which is the main entrance to the hotel zone. All of their entrance is through the airport. So all traffic has been rerouted through the airport, which makes like a 10-minute journey, an hour-long journey, because you also have to go through 4 military checkpoints where they board all buses and check everyone's ID. So internationals have been going through the airport into the hotel zone, looking like tourists, and then have done some actions inside. And yesterday, there's a really amazing action right next to the convention center. There's a hotel being built, and there's a 300-foot crane that is constructing this new hotel. And 3 North American activists, a couple of which are from Cascadia, climbed this 300-foot tall crane and unfurled a very large banner that says "Que se vayan todos," which it means they all must go. And that phrase has become popular from South American political activists. And they said they were going to stay up there for 3 days until the meeting was over, but the Mexican foreign minister negotiated with them and told them if they came down, they would not be arrested or deported. So they came down last night, and that was a really effective action. It was really good. Also last night, there's a couple of, around the convention center, in addition to all of the fences that have been built on the road leading to the convention center, there is an 8-foot-tall fence and at some parts cement wall surrounding the convention center, and they've built 3 arches that are walkways so that the delegates don't actually have to put their feet on the ground. They can walk up above and over the street to get to the convention center. So about a dozen and laid down in the street, and a couple of Mexican activists parked a car in the middle of the road underneath the archway, and then within minutes about 100 internationals gathered and took over that street and successfully stopped traffic in the hotel zone for 3 hours last night. And they were chanting and drumming and dancing and doing a spiral dance, and they spread corn throughout the street, which again is that common thread of farmers and their struggle with globalization as it's defined by the WTO. And they shut down the hotel zone during that time, which was really exciting. And they actually stopped some of the buses. All of the delegates are being moved from the convention center to their hotels on first-class buses, and so the buses were actually stopped.
Wow.
For a few hours, and they were also threatened with arrest and deportation, and after really intense negotiation, they agreed to leave, and the police agreed to not arrest them. So they were also boarded on buses and sent out to Kilometer Zero, where they were met with a bunch of Zero, and then an all-night party celebration took place at Kilometer Zero. And those were the main actions yesterday, but throughout the day there was a lot of, like I said, decentralized actions taking place. There was a small group of about 20 people that did a funeral theater piece with the theme that the WTO kills, holding tombstones with all the different components of life and earth that are dying because of trade agreements that corporations are pushing. And again, they were harassed and surrounded by police, but were told to leave and not be arrested. And so that's basically what we're seeing the police do here. Although the intimidation, there's been a really intense level of sophisticated intimidation going on here in Cancun, but when it comes down to it, they're not wanting to arrest people and they're not wanting to deport them. Although they're threatening it, they're just not doing it. And
do you think
the actions that are happening... I'm sorry, what?
That's okay. Do you think that they're trying to keep it from becoming a big news story, or why do you think that they would want to be taking such a lead?
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, the World Economic Forum took place here in 2001, and about 500 Mexicans protested, and the police reacted with just overbearing, brutal police violence, and dozens of people were hospitalized, and it was a really, really horrible scene, and it ended in the police chief of Cancun resigning and President Fox publicly condemning that. So I think that's one thing, is that President Fox doesn't want Mexico to have an international face of brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that our numbers are so low, with only a few thousand people or even 15,000 people that we had a few days ago. They had 20,000 with law enforcement on hand. They have military battleships anchored on the coast of Cancun.
20,000 law enforcement in Cancun currently?
Yes.
Wow.
And so our numbers never even matched theirs. And I think it would maybe be a different scene if we had 100,000 people in the streets.
Yeah.
But as it is right now, they realize that if they were to jail or deport the numbers of us that are here right now, it would be a really big deal. It would be a huge deal, and I don't think that they want to do that right now. And I think that also ties into what's happening on the inside of the meetings. Because from what I understand, both in the U.S. and to a certain extent internationally, the media is not covering the ministerial very much.
No.
And when I say the ministerial, I mean the internal negotiations or the external protests.
Right.
It's not a big story right now. And I think there's two reasons for that. One is that internally things are falling apart. Agreements are not being made, the negotiations are not going well, but it's not happening in a really confrontational or dramatic way, and so it's not very exciting. It's just kind of going along, and there's not a lot of excitement happening yet. I think that might change tomorrow when the meeting ends. Either they make agreements or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, there's not a lot happening. I mean, that's kind of the point. There's not a lot happening. I mean, they're making no agreements, and so that's not interesting. And then externally, the protests, the police aren't, I'm speaking generally, of course, the police aren't beating us, they aren't jailing us, and they aren't deporting us, and so it's not that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they were to start mass arrests, it would be a big story, and they just don't want to do that right now. And I don't think they want to draw that attention to the WTO right now, because the WTO is not a big success story. So in the eyes of corporations and the media that they control, I don't think that they want to highlight this meeting, because it's just not successful.
Is there a feeling of there being international press in the streets? Have you encountered, you know, network television from different countries, or is there...
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. There is a lot of press here. I mean, there's Fox News and the New York Times and LA Times and, you know, the Chicago Tribune and the Washington Post. They're here, but, you know, when I get on the internet and look, there's just not a lot of stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are focusing on the farmers and the agricultural subsidies. But even with Mr. Lee's suicide, I was surprised by how little it was being covered. Because to my understanding, this is the first suicide of protest in the anti-globalization movement, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know that people... Well, yeah.
So your impression and the information you have about what's happening on the inside of the meetings is kind of a general sense of stagnation, that there's not pointed confrontation happening, but at the same time there's not very much progress being made?
No, there's a lot of solidarity being built internally between the countries in the global south.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard delegates from Venezuela and Africa speak
mm-hmm.
about the really amazing, strong solidarity that they're building between Latin America and Africa and
mm-hmm.
Asia. And I don't know if you've heard about this G21 group forming.
Yeah, please tell what you know.
Well, the United States and the European Union are proposing this agricultural agreement, and this is one of the biggest contentions within this ministerial. And it's basically demanding that the Global South open its markets completely to foreign investment and foreign imports, meanwhile keeping their subsidies in the United States and the European Union. As you know, American farmers are heavily subsidized, and they produce masses of food, and then they're dumping their excess on the Global South to compete with their locally produced food, and
mm-hmm.
their locally produced food can't compete with this hugely subsidized agriculture that's coming in from the global north. And so the proposal that's in the WTO right now is largely written by the United States and the European Union, and this is what the global south as a whole is protesting. And so a group of countries that call themselves the G21, and I believe a couple of countries, including Turkey, have joined it in the last few days, so it might be the G23 by now. But they gave an alternative proposal. And a few hours ago,